Good evening.
Good evening.
I was afraid we're going to have to open with UFC Moscow, but that doesn't seem to be the lead story right now anymore.
No, it's not.
Welcome to MMA and stuff on halfguarded.com. My name is Matt Grady. That is Michael Coughlin. And we've got late breaking news. I bet we're one of the first MMA podcasts to cover this late breaking story. John Jones has received a 15-month suspension after going through arbitration in his USADA case. This could have potentially been a 4-year suspension, but it has been knocked down to 15 months. And in theory, he could fight again as soon as October 28th.
John Jones has completely learned the lessons of Trump. This man has figured it out. He is a genius. He will never, ever get his comeuppance. He is proof that there is no such thing as karma. There is no divine presence orchestrating things. Shit just happens, and big, strong guys that fuck your girl get to go out and then fuck your mom, and then you get AIDS from it somehow. Like, John Jones is incredible.
It is something else. Because I've got a few thoughts, and I'm sure you do as well. And there's a lot to unpack here, but we'll get into it. And a lot of this is new. I don't know how much you've read.
I've read nothing. I just did a half hour podcast with Peach Machine.
Okay.
As I was getting ready to do that, I just had ESPN on in the background, and I saw this crawl, and it said that's like I found out from ESPN. I was like, oh, this is great. This is wonderful. I got so excited when I saw the news because, like, they are everything. Like, I don't know. This may be all in the up and up. This may be all legit. But all the goodwill that over the years has always been, hey, this is not like boxing. This is not like boxing. Oh, yes, it is. It's just like boxing now.
Jones, his legal team, and USADA reps met with arbitrator Richard H. McLaren last Saturday. Going into arbitration, USADA already determined there should be a reduction of 2 years and 6 months to a potential Jones suspension based on Jones's delivery of substantial assistance, the release stated. Jones was facing a 4-year ban because this was his second UFC anti-doping policy violation.
Substantial assistance is a really great euphemism for giant bags with money signs on them.
Well, if you dug a little deeper,
they were wheelbarrowfuls of money. Ah, I gotcha.
So this is what I'm hearing, reading, seeing, thinking. Jones' 15 months is based on a 30-month reduction for evidently turning in another fighter and or coach and or supplier to USADA, along with a small 3-month reduction based on the circumstances of his failed test in general.
What circumstances? He fucking ran someone out.
He basically narked on somebody.
Oh my God.
Is what they're claiming.
I mean, seriously, how does that work though? Like, okay, maybe like there was like, maybe he was truly instrumental in some big drug bust or whatever. But let's face it, that's not what happened here. He ran out somebody. But doesn't it usually go the other way? Like, nobody's asking Donald Trump to rat out, Manafort or something like that. Like, you get the small guy. So, you can't get a bigger name than John Jones unless he ratted out Conor McGregor or Ronda Rousey. I don't know what John Jones has to offer. Like, Al Capone could be like, what if I give you Bugsy or something like that? Like, no, you're Al Capone. I want you.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever heard of this happening, but apparently there's a section in the USADA, whatever, rules or guidelines, whatever, 10.6.1, and turn states evidence to reduce their suspension. It's a very substantial reduction. So it might not just be a name. It might be who he's getting shit from, my hunch is nothing will come of this, and it's kind of bullshit, and it sounds good, but imagine, like, if he busted, like, all of ATT or something, or he leads to this crackdown on some drug ring, and it leads to like all these baseball players and shit going down. That's what I envision. I envision like Jones just blowing everything up so he could get another fight and make another $10 million because he's a dick and doesn't care about anybody else except himself.
Maybe he walked in there and he said, look, I got some evidence that's going to convince you guys I should be freed, if you will. Eric Anders is headlining shows.
Yes, that's a. They looked at that's it. That's what I think. I think nothing will come of this. I'm just thinking like best case scenario and funniest thing. Like the whole world's going to hate John Jones because all these baseball players and football players are going to get suspended because he just narcs on everyone because he wants another payday.
I did see. By the way, this explains why I saw an ad that Greg Jackson would be teaching a seminar in Iowa. So now it makes sense.
And it also mentions in the arbitration that John Jones was still using cocaine both before and after testing positive for Turinabol. And he was checked into a month-long rehab as well.
Wait. So I'm trying to figure out. So he was doing coke before the most recent failure? Is that what they're saying?
Yes, and after.
And after. Huh. I mean, he was on Joe Rogan's show and he said he had put that behind him.
Might have been a gap in between though. He didn't go on Joe Rogan's show immediately after he failed either.
Oh, that's right, actually. Yeah. I'm sorry for,
I guess it's been a long time.
But he didn't fail for coke.
He did not.
But oh my gosh, he turned in his coke dealer.
Coke isn't, that's an out of competition thing now.
Like he's just admitting to problems. Yes.
Like as long as he doesn't have coke in his system, like fight week, I think you're clear. It's not an issue.
You ever do so much cocaine that you also do steroids?
I haven't.
Yeah, I mean it's weird. And look, I understand the concept of gateway drugs, but usually it's not like weed turns to pills, turns to coke, turns to Dynabol or Turinabol. Like that. Like usually you might go to like needles, but it's not Turinabol in there. And John Jones has probably done that too.
So essentially, the arbitrator is claiming they're reducing the suspension 2.5 years because Jones narked on somebody. And then the other 3 months, which would knock it down to 15 months, was based on Jones's degree of fault, which took into account that he had passed multiple out-of-competition drug tests leading up to UFC 214 before failing the in-competition test, the one he knew was coming. Jones was tested 8 times in 10 months around UFC 214 and failed just the one test. Jones argued that he did not knowingly take a banned substance and had no idea how a steroid metabolite got in his system. Jones submitted more than a dozen dietary supplements to USADA and none came back contaminated. McLaren is a highly regarded name in anti-doping and was on the independent panel commissioned by WADA to investigate allegations of state-sponsored doping in Russia.
Okay, I was thinking about that too. This might explain UFC Moscow. Like, they made some deal. They're like, you're going to get a UFC show, but you got to give us Igor. And Igor's like, Igor, you're going to get on. You're going to take one for the team. Don't worry. We'll get you out. Trump is president now.
The independent arbitrator found that Jones was not intentionally cheating in this case. And while we thought 18 months was the appropriate sanction, given the other circumstances of the case, we respect the arbitrator's decision and believe that justice was served. USADA CEO Travis Tigert said in a statement, this case is another strong reminder that athletes need to be extremely cautious about the products and supplements they use to ensure they are free of prohibited substances.
Maybe I was just really stupid for most of like my life and I just all of a sudden got really smart. But do they think everybody in the world is a moron? Like, what the hell? This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing for everyone involved. And it's really embarrassing for these. What the hell? That one guy in Brazil got like 4 years because he like lied or something like that. And John Jones getting 18 months because he lied. Like, what the fuck? This makes no sense. This company is a joke. This is an absolute joke. The Fertittas are smarter than everyone.
It also, as far as that substantial assistance goes, It also says if Jones no longer cooperates, he runs the risk of getting time tacked on to his suspension per the UFC anti-doping policy.
This is weird. Like, stuff like that's weird to me because this is a private, like, this, that's what you do if you're the state and you can force that. It's just, I don't know. I don't like that. That's creepy, but whatever. They're just making shit up. They're just making it up.
Yeah, I can't imagine John Jones is going and meeting with USADA or UFC and giving them dirt on everybody in his camp.
You know I could. What I mean? Actually, I can't. I can completely believe that. I can completely believe he just goes to a new camp. If John Jones, him ratting someone out is so perfect. He is the exact personality. Like, maybe of everybody in MMA, he's like the one guy you would most expect to absolutely turn in people. He is the definition of a bitch. also, why not? The dude has never been punished for anything in his life, ever. He has never. People think Donald Trump has been gotten a slide through. At least Donald Trump had to go through bankruptcy once. John Jones just gets paid vacations, essentially. Like, this is ridiculous. Mark Hunt, bless him, is absolutely right about all this stuff. Like, this is fucking insane. Also, guys like Tom Lawler are fucking stupid as shit. Every single fighter who does not challenge these things is a moron. They're going to roll over. They roll over on all of it.
Well, I mean, here's the argument, right? It would be, how much am I going to spend on attorneys and shit when I'm a mid-level fighter and I make 20 and 20 and maybe not get the decision I want? Maybe I'll go the Francisco Rivera route and tell them I ate tainted meat in Mexico and get banned for life because they think I'm lying to them. You don't know which
way it's going to go. I'll do it for $5,000.
You'll do anything for $5,000.
Yeah, but guess what? I really should be doing this stuff. Who in the world is probably better qualified to argue this stuff? I know how the law works. I know MMA. I know all the bullshit. Like, if I was that arbitrator, I would look at him. I'd be like, bitch, you're getting 6 years. I don't know. I can't do that. I don't care. It's because you hit a woman with your car.
Right.
Like, this is – I know how this happens, too, because arbitrators are neutral.
Right.
But it's not just they're neutral. They're arbitrators. This is what they do for a living. All they do is arbitrate stuff. It's like in baseball. They don't understand things. Like, whenever you see, like, arbitration contracts and stuff like that in baseball, they always were using these arcane numbers because they didn't understand advanced analytics or anything like that, and they go with precedent. And so these people are all lawyers, and lawyers are always looking – like, I think lawyers are people that are prone to, ooh, that's a clever argument. I kind of like that. And, you know, they all know each other in this whole, like, oh, he's a very respected person in this industry. Oh, fuck off. They all get respected, and then they sell their respect. That's what the game is. What do you think politicians do? Obama's out there cashing in on all his respect he's got until everybody goes, you're like Bill Clinton now. And John Jones, you know, he took advantage of the loophole in the system, and it's just hilarious. I mean, if I'm the UFC, if I'm Dana White, I would just look at this and be like, eh, fuck it. No, you can't get less time for your second confirmed offense than you get for your first one, than most people get for their – you're supposed to get 2 years for a first-time offense, 4 for a second, and he's getting 15 months for – what the hell? They're just pulling numbers out of their ass. You can't even find – the only reason it comes to 15 months is because you're looking to get him eligible for a certain date. Otherwise, you just be like, oh, let's make it an even 2 years. Or why don't we just go until January 1st or something that – October 28th. This is amazing.
Well, it's a pretty good loophole in there, in theory, because it's a great way out, because who knows if Jones is going to reveal anything to USADA. They can claim he did, or didn't Chael Sonnen do something like that to get a reduced suspension at one point? I feel like Chael was going to help them.
I remember during Chael's hearing for the Anderson Silva failure. It was the Anderson Silva failure, and that was the one where, like, they actually said, we want you to, like, be on the commission and help us do this stuff. Yeah. But at least I think he still got, like, the full fine, at least, or the full suspension. They didn't say, like, you know what, we're just going to reduce your How about if we pay you for your time lost? How about if we just do that? Like, the UFC might as well just do that. They might as well tell John, we're sorry that you've had to, you know, go on vacation for a while. Aren't you ready? Here's some money. I got distracted, by the way. I have Ultimate Fighter on for some reason. And this, there's this female fighter. And, I mean, I've seen some butch-looking, weird-looking women in my day. But this chick, she looks more manly than I do. Like, it's weird.
So you're really attracted to her?
Oh, I can't wait.
It should also be noted that California was a state where Jones popped last time. So they kind of need to sign off on this. Which
I forgot about that. Didn't they already say they were gonna?
Yeah.
They actually withdrew. They actually said, we're not going to punish him. We have so much faith in you, USADA. Charlie Brown Foster, will never learn.
Who is the executive officer for the California State Athletic Commission, put out a statement today. He said, as announced by USADA today, an independent arbitrator determined that John Jones should receive a 15-month sanction for his second violation of the UFC anti-doping policy. Although the commission has not had the opportunity to review the decision at this time, the commission is agreeable in concept to the 15-month sanction time period. In order to have his license reinstated, Mr. Jones will be ordered to complete 3 months of community service, pay the previously ordered $205,000 fine, and finish out the remainder of the 15-month sanction. So it looks like all things are a go. That was the one, I guess, string still attached, but that's been taken away at this point.
I probably shouldn't like announce this on a podcast because in theory this could be evidence used against me one day. But I don't think what I'm planning to do now is illegal. I'm going to check though. I'm going to fucking start a campaign to get Foster removed from the California Athletic Commission. Like, honestly, like, he was supposed to be like the former fighter. He does the weight cut stuff. He's a guy that we can really believe in. Like, he really cares about the fighter. He's going to be like the guy that maybe starts making little changes. Instead, he's just like, yeah, 15 months. Whew. That's a real good one there. Like, fuck this. All I should have to do is write a really good letter and send it to, like, what is it going to cost me? $50 in postage or something like that? That's a big deal. I got $50. I don't have much more than $50 I can waste, but I got $50 I can waste to entertain myself.
You should all be in jail. If you ignore what the rules are currently, if, like, USADA didn't exist, whatever. What do you think should have happened to John Jones at this point for a second failure? Personally,
honestly,
are you pro like PED testing in general? Do you think that should be tested for? Do you think it should be the Wild West? Let them do whatever. Like, I don't think we've ever really gotten into that. Like, we always talk about working within the rules and the guidelines they currently have. But in general, what do you think? Like, is this too draconian? Should they be watching you take a shower? Like, how far do you go?
Boy, that we could just spend an entire show on that. And given that we have UFC Eric Anders coming up or whatever.
I have plenty of stuff to talk about. Good. I can't always dig stuff up.
No, I mean... I don't really have an opinion on it. I know that sounds weird, but like, I've kind of
that is unusual for you.
Well, but the truth is, like, on a lot of things in life, I don't really care about what people are doing. I've always said I care why, not what. And so, like, I'm much more offended by just what I see as obvious and blatant corruption on the part of every single person involved in this than I am about whether John Jones gets to use steroids or not. Like, I accept that they're all on something for the most part. I know it's a game. I guess I don't really. The problem is, like, I don't want it to get out of control. Like, I wouldn't. I guess I would actually, at the end of the day, if I was running a company, I would try to make it as clean as I could be. I would acknowledge that guys would fail, but I would just kind of be like hoping that we're just gonna not gonna. I don't want Mark Kerr looking motherfuckers walking around because I think that's just like. There's like a tipping point. You get too much drugs in a guy's system, and all of a sudden it's like, this HGH is just one thing, but that guy's on PCP. Like, that's kind of weird.
Right. Yeah. No, I have a tough time too with it because I don't know the science behind it. I don't really know what really can affect performance. Like, forever, like, weed was banned. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, like, that's not really helping anything. Like, in competition, I get it, but like outside of competition, recreational drugs and even some of these like supplement things, how much of a difference is it really making? And I don't know. I don't know the science behind it.
Yeah,
but...
I don't think it, honestly, I don't think this stuff makes nearly as much of a difference. But I think it is, though. I think it's kind of, if you're the kind of person that's willing to do all that stuff, you're also doing all the other work.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, people always think like, oh, my, like I found the secret to dieting is to eat only this or eat only that. It's like, no, every diet is just a calorie restriction, essentially. Like, yeah, there's, you know, people get their allergies. Some of us are allergic to bread, for example. But, you know, for the most part, like, just reducing your calories. So if you're the kind of guy that's very, here's a good word, fastidious, then you're going to, you know, also be watching what you eat. Like, I always know, like, whenever I used to take supplements, and I just, you know, everyone wants to get some shit from GNC. Even if it's just, like, a protein shake, I'd be drinking this shit. It made me want to make the rest of my – I would actually work out more, and I would eat healthier because I thought, well, I don't want to waste this.
Right.
Like, when I was in college, like, I did creatine for, like, 3 months. I was like, I ate really clean. I'm like, well, if this stuff is harmful, I want to make sure I get the most out of it.
Mm.
So – and also, look at John Jones. His gifts in life have nothing to do with drugs. Like, right. I'm sure that they help, but come on. Like,
well,
if I do John
here's
Jones
the thing.
Drugs.
Don't you think it has to help, or these guys wouldn't be risking their careers and suspensions and all this money on it? Are they just idiots? Like, even like in baseball, like A-Rod and Clemens and all these guys who – Bonds, who set all these records, and Sosa, whoever. It's like, clearly there's some benefit to it just based on numbers and power and – you know, bodybuilders and weightlifters, and clearly they get a benefit from it. The question is just how much, and how do you determine which supplements are okay and which aren't, which I don't have a firm grasp on that shit at all.
Yeah.
And like, I think most people do. That's the thing that annoys me about a lot of this stuff, is people are so steadfast in their opinions that, oh, let them do whatever they want, or they should have ultra strict testing and know where people are all the time, and they should sign off on every meal they have, and it should be 100% clean. It's like, you don't know that. Like, no layman really knows the science and chemistry involved with this shit. That irritates me.
And that's actually part of the problem, is that these arbitrators, while yes, they're lawyers are basically just people who are trained to become experts in something for a very, very short period of time. And then we all go back to being laymen. Like, if I have a case involving steroids, I have to get really close to being an expert on steroids. I have to learn that law, figure out what the – but as soon as that's gone, like, my brain will empty out stuff real quick. And I know that's not a surprise. But, like, when they cite things and their reasoning – some of their reasoning – forget whether they – the fact that they actually cited as evidence, he gave us a whole bunch of supplements and nothing was in them. What the fuck? I'm sorry, the evidence is that he went to GNC and bought a bunch of stuff and said, I don't know, like, this is what I'm taking. And they're like, well, the stuff that he told us he was taking doesn't have anything in it. So how else would – he must be an innocent victim of this stuff. Or he's a fucking liar. I don't – like, this is mind-boggling that these people are this stupid. But maybe I'm stupid. Maybe the real key is I should have spent my 30s and my 20s, you know, working my ass off 12, 15 hours a day so I could be in this position where I'm 45 and I can just get a big fat check and be like, let the Negro punch people. That's fine. Because I'm sure that's what the decision was in private as they all smoked their big fat cigars.
I think that's it. So in theory, John Jones could be back for UFC 230. We still mysteriously don't have a main event for that show. I mean,
oh Jesus Christ.
It could be Nate versus Poirier, but that seemed a little soft for MSG. Then the other idea was Tyron Woodley versus Kobe Covington, but I'm thinking John Jones and maybe Gustafson as the main event in MSG on, I think it's November 3rd, and he can be back on October 28th. So that timing seems pretty good.
If I had the UFC, I would really be embarrassed to be that obvious about it. I don't know who he would fight. Because it doesn't really matter. He'll get... Oh, goody. We get another title. That's good. We get another... I don't know if he'll be an interim champion or what he'll be. This will be, I think, John's third interim championship. Something like that. Maybe second.
Well, I think you would probably do Jones versus Gus. Then you could have Cormier Brock. Cormier beats Brock, and then run back Cormier Jones for a third time, and that'll be Cormier's last fight.
If I'm I feel bad for Daniel Cormier and all of this. He's just had the biggest moment of his life recently, and it's gone. Like, John Jones is back in the news, and everything he does now, people are going to ask him about John Jones. Even you just now, you're like, and maybe he goes and fights John Jones again. Like, if he goes and he fights Jones, he's going to probably lose, and he's going to end his career in a loss. And if he doesn't fight him, which he probably shouldn't, people are going to go, look, he's afraid of John Jones. Like, all of a sudden, Cormier goes from being, like, the best fighter in the world at two weight classes to, John Jones is back. He's not really. Like, nobody really thinks that Cormier is the best at light heavyweight. And now he's heavyweight champion. Nobody thinks he's the best at heavyweight because John Jones is there. And we all know it. Nobody thinks that there's any doubt that John Jones is going to go in there and whoop the shit out of Daniel Cormier. Right. Or Brock Lesnar or anybody he wants to, basically. Yeah. He should fight Stipe on the undercard of the Brock and Cormier show. That'd be all right.
See if Cormier, I mean, you would presume Cormier is going to beat the shit out of Brock. And if he beats Brock, he'll look like he could hang with Jones again. And he's coming off a win over Stipe, a win over Brock. They could fight at heavyweight. They could claim he's got more power at heavyweight. I could see it being people have short memories, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He knocks out Brock, and Brock's, like, flopping around the cage like a fucking idiot.
Big fight. I don't know if Cormier would want to do that.
He says he wants it. He says he wants to fight Jones again.
Charlie Brown will never learn.
Let's move along. Here.
I like the idea of John Jones at heavyweight. Imagine what this freak is going to be like. And he's not cutting any weight.
Yeah.
Holy jeez, man. Also, I don't want to see him fight Cormier. I just want to fight Brock. I just want to see Brock do things. I want to see Brock ragdoll his little chicken legs.
Will John Jones fuck up again?
Yes. The only question is, does he fuck up in his next fight or the fight after that? He ain't making more than two fights before he screws up again.
Such a shame.
He hasn't missed. So when was the last time John Jones didn't fuck up before a fight?
OSP.
I thought there's some. No, he fucked. Oh, sorry. Okay, fucked up before or after a fight? Because didn't he fuck up after the OSP fight?
I'd have to look. I've lost track of the timeline. I had that one article going there, when the site first started. I should just keep updating that thing.
I mean, look at John Cho. Good gosh, man. I mean,
a lot of car crashes. Hiding under the ring to avoid a test. There's so many things with him.
He hid under the ring to avoid a test, and now he's turning state's evidence. I remember you're asking, like, what would I do to him? Like, honest to goodness, if I could, like, wave a wand, I think I don't know, 5 years? Like, honestly, like, if you believe that people have to get suspended for a harsh sentence for progressively, and I think you do, like, he is a genuine recidivist. This is not an isolated thing. It's not an isolated PED failure. It's not an isolated drug failure. It's not an isolated dodging of things. The man has not shown any willingness to. And the truth is, part of the punishment is to encourage you not to do it again. He hasn't been encouraged yet. So I think he gets a nice little timeout, or I just give him nothing and be like, let's see what's happened. Give me my money.
A guy who I'm sure was upset about this Jones decision is Mark Hunt. He fought on Saturday, I guess technically afternoon. It was UFC Fight Night, Hunt versus Olenek. This was number 136. The debut show in Russia. The first time UFC's ever been to Russia. The show was in Moscow. Attendance, I think, was fifth highest in company history.
Holy shit.
22,603 people with a total gate of 1.84 million. In the main event, Oleksiy Olenek submitted Mark Hunt with a rear naked choke at 4:26 of the first round.
So disappointing.
What do you want, the Ezekiel?
Yes. Yeah. That's what's really – also, I just now for the first time saw the finish there. Like, he dropped Hunt with a punch, hit him on the top of the head. And, like, even the choke he did, it wasn't even like a normal choke.
Right, he didn't have the back, he was kind of on his side.
So it was almost an Ezekiel.
This man is just good at squeezing heads. It's awesome.
He must have quite the grip, huh?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you know he like rips phone books in half and stuff.
This is Alexio Lenik's 45th win by submission.
He's one of those dudes when you shake his hand, you're just like, you're a fighter. Like everyone of yours for years, like no matter what, you don't have to ask him, you shake his hand, you go, something different about this guy. 45, I mean, he, and they're all just squeezing heads.
He is actually 6-2 in the UFC now. I mean, at heavyweight against, you know, mid-level heavyweights, but still, he's on a bit of a run. Granted, Mark Hunt, you know what's funny about Mark Hunt?
He sucks.
Yeah, that's part of it. But it's like, he's never been good on the ground, and people just kind of forgot about that. Like, he got subbed by Big Sexy McCorkle. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's never been good on the ground, and guys just got away from it, and then he would stand and bang with guys and get knockout wins because he hits so fucking hard. But if people take him down, like, Brock beat the shit out of him. You know? Like, no problem. Just took him down, beat the shit out of him. And I don't know why more guys don't do that when they fight Mark Hunt, but whatever.
Well, because they are just as smart as he is, and he's not that smart.
In the co-main, Jan Błachowicz defeated Nikita Krylov by arm triangle choke at 2:41 in the second.
Okay. That wouldn't even be a fair trivia question one day. But what was the co-main event in the first show in Russia? And if you gave the answer, people would be like, fuck you. Like, that's one of those things, like, you only know it because you go out of your way to know it.
Błachowicz has won 4 in a row at light heavyweight, and if John Jones wasn't around, would probably be knocking on the door for a title shot at light heavyweight.
So he's going to get a title shot then, because John Jones ain't listening.
We also had Shamil Abdurakhimov defeating Andrei Arlovsky by unanimous decision. Boring fight. And the opener on the main card was Alexei Kunchenko defeating Thiago Alves by unanimous decision. Kind of a sad fight for Alves, losing to a guy without a Wikipedia page.
At least he didn't get his head squeezed.
On the undercard, probably the biggest story from the undercard was CB Dolloway getting the shit kicked out of him at the end of the second round. Like, it should have been stopped. I don't know what, what's his name, Herb Dean was doing. Like, Dolloway was just flat out on his stomach, taking punches to the head. He had his hands kind of blocking some of them, but he was not intelligently defending himself. Like, this was brutal, probably 20 too many strikes. The round ends, and Herb Dean's like yelling at him. Essentially, he's like, if you don't get up and go to your corner, I'm ending the fight. And Dolloway didn't get up, and Herb Dean ended the fight.
Like he's a pro wrestling referee counting him out. Like,
essentially,
like he's doing the old 10, like the standing 10 count. Like, get up. Get up, man. Do you want to continue? Do you want to continue?
Like, I like Herb Dean usually, but this was not his best night by any chance. One guy on the undercard who looked pretty good was Peter Yan, worth looking out for. He could be something someday at 135. And no, nothing else is really catching. No, he looked pretty good.
He won't be anything, though.
Okay. Mark my words. How do you actually mark someone's words?
I think
it's a weird saying.
I wonder if it's like a court reporter transcript thing.
Maybe.
Like, I remember the first time I actually said, like, for the record, but I was like using it correctly. Like, I was in court, like, saying for the record. I went, oh shit. It dawned on me. I'm like, oh, I actually really want this on the record. Like, I was going out of my way to ensure that it was being recorded because it was important. Do I hear a cricket?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a year or two since we had one of those down here.
I like crickets.
Yeah.
I like cicadas more, though.
So, yeah, that's basically it for UFC Moscow, the big debut in Russia after all these years. What a disappointment. Letdown? I don't know.
It looks like they needed Vadim's help after all.
Finkelstein. There was also a big boxing match this weekend. We had Canelo Alvarez versus Triple G number 2. Canelo won by decision. A lot of people thought Triple G should have won. I only saw highlights of this fight. I'm presuming you did not see much of it.
I saw the last five rounds.
And what did you take away from it?
That Twitter is still not fixed the scam. You can just search for a fight and go to live broadcast, and there it is. Like, it's really cool how easy this is. It was a really good fight. Like, they were really throwing, so I was like, it was enjoyable. I have no idea who won. And obviously, I didn't watch the whole thing. What I saw was fine. I wasn't scoring it. It's boxing. Unfortunately, what are they going to do? Like, say, oh, boxing, boy, you sure are corrupt. It's like, come on, people. We've seen the bar be raised for corrupt lately.
Well, the thing with boxing that's always weird is there's 12 rounds. And if 9 of them are close, it's like, Who the hell knows what's going to happen? Like, in MMA, it's easier, I think, because most fights are only 3 rounds. And it's like, okay, 2 of them are close. This was clearly for this guy. So one guy can win 29-28. I'm not going to get that pissed off. But when you see, like, 116 to 112, like, what the hell? He won that? It's like, well, yeah. 8 of the rounds were really close. They could have been a bigger swing in the other direction. So, boxing's weird like that. And people say it's corrupt. I know Teddy Atlas was going off about that.
He was incredible.
The thing is,
did you see him and Stephen A. Smith, like, shadow boxing?
No, but
they were, like, on the air. And Teddy Atlas is, like, boxing. He's going, he was using his jab, damn it, like this. And he backs up. He's just throwing the jab. He goes, I jab you and I punch you in the face. I'm winning the fight. It's like, what? What's happening here?
Well, I know Golovkin, like, outstruck Alvarez, like, significantly. Like, it was a significant amount. But again, if most of that's between a few rounds or Canelo's landing heavier shots, it's subjective, man. The fight isn't based on significant strikes. Who lands the most significant strikes in 12 rounds? That's not how fights are scored. Maybe they should be, but they're not. So significant strikes sound important, but they might not be if Triple G outstruck him 30-1 in one round, let's say, and wins that round, and then it's close the rest of the way. Like, people just don't understand how scoring works.
Yeah, I all of a sudden I've just had a thought, and I think it's a good one. Is that
I'll let you know.
Yeah, that'll be a first. Is that we should make all fights should go until there's a finish.
Sounds healthy.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my reasoning. It's a fight. It's already unhealthy. Sure. None of these guys are doing well anyways. Right. So they should just fight fewer fights in general, maybe only once a year. But it should go until somebody loses. Get rid of all this stuff. Like, otherwise, we're just pretending. It's almost kind of worse that we lie to ourselves and pretend like we're watching a sport. We're not. It's a fight. Just let people fight. How do you know when a fight's over? Because one guy gets beat up. A fight never ends with both guys standing there going, I don't know who's better. No, if you don't know who's better, you just keep fighting. Otherwise, you get to, like, a North Korea, South Korea 50, 60-year standoff, and next thing, and then Donald Trump's making the decision. That's what judging is. You're letting the crazy guy make a decision for you, when in reality, you should have just gone in there and kicked some ass like we did in World War II.
There's potential they could do a third one, because this one was somewhat controversial, I guess. So we'll see. First one, I think, did 1.3 million buys. I don't know if there was more anticipation for the rematch or what. The first one was a draw. So,
they got to do a rematch. What else are these assholes going to do?
I'm not sure.
I know Floyd's coming back.
Speaking of assholes, yeah, there's Floyd and Manny Pacquiao were at some, like, rave or something somewhere in Japan, it looked like. And Mayweather essentially just said off the cuff, oh yeah, we're going to fight again this year. And I don't know if there's really any fire to that smoke, or if he was just trying to get publicity like he does when he was pretending he was training for MMA, just to keep his name in the press. But more and more, I'm hearing more and more about it. And we could get Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather 2 by December, like this year.
That's weird. I mean, we just cut taxes. I don't know what Floyd's problem is there. I would suspect that he will not be fighting Manny again. I don't think he'll fight again. I bet stuff like this happened for a long, long time, but we've just started hearing about it now. Because remember, remember when back in the day when you like hear stories about how celebrities wouldn't do commercials in America, but they were over in Japan selling, you know, panties or some like vending machine underwear or some shit like that. And like, yes, maybe like Floyd forgot that people can record this stuff and put it everywhere. And he's figured, it's Japan, I can say whatever the fuck I want. Like, nobody's going to give a shit. I told the Japanese people, like, yeah, I'm going to fight Manny. And then next thing, because, oh my gosh, the idea of that fight again. It's a fight that is like, yeah, I know it was so much money and it probably would make money again, but that is, that fight's synonymous with like boxing fucking you over. Like, all I've heard for years is people say, boy, what a shame that these two assholes didn't fight earlier when it would have been something good. Like, that's the legacy that they left behind, is they killed boxing.
People will buy it. It'll do 2 million buys.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I don't see it doing less than half what it did the first time. They could play up that Manny's shoulder was fucked up, he was hurt. You know what I mean? You can spin that.
They should just say, they should just sell it as, what the fuck else you got to do this weekend?
That would be a play. And in other asshole news, it looks like this Thursday we're going to have the Conor McGregor and Khabib presser tomorrow. It was supposed to be closed to the public, but Conor's saying it's going to be open to the public and is encouraging people to come down.
But no, it's open to the public, but your ticket, oh no, it's open to the public, you got to see his people outside, and if you bring a bottle of his Conor McGregor whiskey or whatever he's selling,
mm-hmm,
his people will get you ahead of the queue. I don't think this is a real offer.
He wrote on Twitter, the press conference will be open to the public. The ticket for entry is a bottle of proper whiskey, which is his whiskey. Two bottles and you skip the queue to the top. My soldiers will be outside making sure this rule is strictly adhered to. Radio City Hall, UFC 229 press conference. Can you imagine a bunch of Irishmen trying to get into Radio City Music Hall with two bottles of whiskey on them? How does that even work?
If you pitched this in a movie meeting, they would call you a hack and a racist. Or a bigot. Like, my gosh, like, what have we done now? The Irish are showing up and they want to pay with whiskey. Like, what the fuck? Were they out of potatoes? So they started paying with whiskey. Like, this is how gangs in New York was, wasn't it? Like, you got to, like, show up with your whiskey. And also, like, okay, who are you giving the whiskey to? That's your admission? Do you have to give it to Conor? Is he giving people admission to his own press conference if they give him his own whiskey? That's a weird one.
It's actually good branding on McGregor's part. I'll be honest.
He got his attention for it, you know.
No, but I just mean in general, him selling Irish whiskey is.
Oh what yeah,
he probably, if he's going to sell anything, like that makes sense. He's been drinking whiskey at pressers for years. He's from Ireland. It's like, it's perfect. It's got his dumbass tattoo on the label.
Is it expensive?
It can't be. No, I think it's like $30 a bottle.
Here's the thing. If I was, I'd buy it because I don't know shit about whiskey. Like, I don't drink whiskey at all.
Yes.
So if I had to buy whiskey, I'd be like, yeah, why not Conor McGregor? It's like, I bought a bottle of Walking Dead wine once just because I'm like, I had Walking Dead on the thing. I'm like, yeah, it's just, I'm looking to cure my self-hatred. So
That's not going to help.
No, it didn't help at all, people. For all you children listening, I guarantee you, you can't drink away your problems. Trust me, it's not good. I'm really happy I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Right now, that tweet has 10,000 likes. I know not all those people are going to show up there with bottles of whiskey.
Imagine though,
still,
like, well, this isn't a thing. Conor can't just make this thing public. Or maybe he can. But say they don't let people come in. What if there's 500 people standing outside on the streets of New York holding two bottles of whiskey on a really hot September day, on a Friday or Thursday? Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, because initially it was supposed to be closed. I think we talked about that last week, and then Connor the day before says, "Bring some whiskey, I'll let you in." Ugh, it's not gonna be pretty.
Here's the thing. I don't know. I hope they do let people in, though, because that's the only way it's going to be fun.
I think they'll be entertaining either way. Connor's very good at this. UFC put out a video with some of his highlights from the press conferences. I kind of forgot about some of it. And, like, there's so much, like, so many, like, legendary lines from, like, every single one, whether it's Red Panty Night or Who the Fuck Is That Guy or making balloon animals with his right hand and gang signs with his left. Like,
I predict these things.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the cage, but he's really, really good at this. So hopefully he's not too coked up and out of his mind to keep it together for a couple more years here, because he's the best ever at this shit.
He might be. He might just be the best trash shit, whatever you want to call it, like, of real people ever.
Total package. Like, yeah. Yeah. You take the fighting and the shit talking. That's why he's the biggest draw. Like, it's actually pretty fucking simple, this stuff. Like, he's a really good fighter and he's really good at talking. People want to see that.
It's simple. It's just not easy.
Absolutely.
And that's like, we've only really, I mean, it's happened before with Muhammad Ali, but other than that, like, this is a rare combination of skills. Like, yeah, like in the 80s, like Sugar Ray Leonard, some of these guys. But honestly, I always felt like a lot of that was people telling you that these guys were great. But and I'm not saying that they're not great or anything, but it never felt organic. Whereas with Connor, it just, like, this was not the UFC's doing. Like, he did this. Mm. This is sheer force of will.
Yeah. I actually watched his documentary the other night, and it's just like when he was coming up, like, they show him, like, walking into this big hotel room, and he's like, holy shit. He's like, I'm never going back to those old rooms or whatever. And it's like, yeah, you really are. Like, before, like, the Mendez fight and stuff, where they were really starting to get behind him, and it started to catch fire. It was just watching some of that stuff back, and now it's like he's sitting on, you know, probably $250,000 if he's smart. In sadder news, another guy who was awesome actually passed away, I think, yesterday. Kid Yamamoto. We had talked a couple weeks ago about him, and he made an announcement that he had cancer, but clearly it was pretty serious, because that was, like, I think only, like, 3 weeks ago, maybe. He, I guess the cancer overcame him, and he passed away yesterday, I think. 41 years old.
Wow, that's... I'm getting old now where I say things like, that's young. But
yes.
That's a shame. I mean, I guess the part of the reason we probably never heard about it is I think that, Japanese people are very private anyways, and cancer's a bitch.
Yes.
So sorry for that, kid. I hope you didn't suffer.
Yeah, it never even really came out, like, what kind or what the real story was. But, I mean, he was unbelievable as a fighter, had a lot of charisma. I think he started off, like, 17-1, but we talked a little bit about it a couple weeks ago. But kind of interesting, like, he never fought in Pride. He was in Heroes and did some kickboxing and different stuff and was a huge star. You know, those New Year's Eve shows, like 30 million viewers, that sort of shit, like huge star in Japan. And managed to do it without being in Pride. And then he came over to the UFC, was older, blew out his knee, and was never the same guy again. And I think that's how most U.S. fans know of him anyway, just based on the lousy UFC run. But when he was in his prime in Japan, he was like one of the greatest fighters in the world and one of the biggest stars in MMA.
Yeah, like, I can't speak for, his mic skills and trash talking. And I don't really, charisma is so weird where I saw him as charismatic, but I don't think I really appreciated how charismatic he was, because I'm not Japanese. And that's a kind of a cultural deal. But, he was very similar to Connor in that, his early success, he was like an underground cult figure from what he did in Shooto for years, and people were just like, this dude's amazing. But, there was no small fighters anywhere, definitely not in Japan, right. Not even in the UFC, really. So he's just kind of like this guy, and everybody's like, it's a damn shame. He's a god, but we're never going to see him. Then he just blew up, and all of a sudden he's just like, oh, yeah, oh, shit, he's a megastar. And there he's fighting Masato. And kind of like Connor, he crossed over to similar disciplines and did way better than people thought he should have. Now he's dead. So that's a lesson to be learned there, Connor. You might die.
Probably. This actually says stomach cancer.
Oh,
sounds like a real bitch.
Ooh, that sounds painful. Oh, jeez.
On August 26th, Yamamoto wrote on his Instagram that he'd been diagnosed with cancer. On September 18th, 2018, Yamamoto died from stomach cancer. The type of cancer was revealed by Ryzen founder Nobuyuki Sakakibara with permission from Yamamoto's father. In the same interview, Sakakibara revealed that the cancer was diagnosed as early as 2016, but Yamamoto hid it from the public. In the beginning of 2018, Yamamoto's condition worsened to a point of where his father flew him to Guam to receive treatment for his terminal cancer.
Man, America's so awesome that even like our territories have better medicine than they do everywhere else. So I guess this isn't really sudden at all. It was a, you know, multiple year process. He was just being private with it. And
yeah.
Good for him. I honestly, like, I respect the hell out of that. The older I get, and I know this is weird coming from me, but more I'm like, I get it. I get not telling people your shit. It's like, you give so much of your life to the public. And yeah, you make a lot of money and you're famous, but maybe you want to die in private.
Yeah. I mean, 2016... If he knew he had it then, I mean, he was probably fighting with cancer. His last fight was 2015.
Jeez.
You know, a year later. Because that can take a while to show up in tests, obviously. But
I mean, fucking just yet again another terrible reminder of the real toll and the long-term effects.
Oh, God, yeah.
Of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, fuck you guys. Hey, try Pearl Harbor again, bitch. Try it again.
I didn't know where you were going with that. You went with a 70-year-old joke. Let's see. In living people news, what do we got here? I kind of skipped around. John Jones is ruining everything. Oh, potential big fight at WrestleMania 35 could happen. Ronda Rousey versus Chris Cyborg is rumored for that show.
I hope it happens. I'm rooting for Cyborg to make a lot of money doing something weird.
I'm sure she already has.
And I know it's an association in my head. And it's probably due to the drugs and everything, but she really does have a China vibe to her. You know, like her face and the way she sounds and talks and carries herself. It's kind of like this, I'm just the big, strong woman who just wants people to think I'm pretty. And meanwhile, she's just cashing in on her brute looks and everything.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of legit sites covering this at all. But
who's covered it?
What's that?
Who broke it?
Nobody really. It's like Sports Joe, WrestleTalk.com, all these weird sites. But she was on Helwani's show and said she would like to do it.
Sure she would.
Yeah. I would wrestle Ronda at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would.
Speaking of fun fights coming up, Johnny Hendricks is set to return in a bare-knuckle fight against Brennan Ward.
That's amazing.
Isn't that sad? Like, that bummed me out. It's so sad. Like,
it's really sad seeing this stuff happen in MMA.
Just like, quick to Hendricks, too. It was like, it was only a few years ago he, like, beat the shit out of GSP. You know, that was 5 years ago. And now he's doing bare-knuckle boxing in Casper, Wyoming in November. Ugh. He's 35.
First of all, no one should be in Wyoming in November.
Right.
You should never have bare knuckles in November in Wyoming. That seems just the frostbite alone is be dangerous. And
I think it's inside. It's in the Casper Event Center. I'm assuming that's got heat.
You make assumptions at your own peril there, pal.
He's also debuting at 185 pounds, so that's good.
That sounds like fun to see it.
I know, and he looked fat and slow and terrible.
Oh, you're saying he's making his bare-knuckle boxing debut at that weight. I thought you were saying, like, this is his first fight at 185.
No, I remember him getting beat up by Borashinia. That was good.
He had some of those, yeah, those sad fights. I was there for that fight, actually. That was good fun. That was the MSG 207. Not 207. Maybe it was
204.
205 or 207. Anyway. Anyways, yeah, I kind of didn't see this coming for a lot of these guys just because they had to graduate from college. And that alone usually heads off. Like, I guess the NFL has a much lower rate of guys being destitute as compared to the NBA. And the reason is because a lot of these guys have to go to 3 years of college at least. And so I think that, like, that alone keeps people from blowing all their money. But come on, Johnny. How did this – maybe he just was too arrogant and he really did think, put all that money in that fucking restaurant, dude. This is it. Maybe he just got taken over by that restaurant. You know how that shit goes. Maybe his ego got involved. He kept eating everything.
It closed pretty quick. Like, it didn't last very long. I mean, I'm guessing he made big money off, you know, the GSP, Robbie Lawler fights, those main events. He made good money. And then that dried up when you're getting knocked by Tim Boesch. You know what I mean? And the money wasn't the same, and he probably didn't control his spending, and he's fucked. Because you wouldn't just do this for fun. Like, this screams to me of somebody who needs a payout and owes somebody some money and is hurt.
Or something. I don't know. We talked about, I think, last week about the shockingly decent names that are being drawn to this shit. Mm. Like, we're seeing a lot more people do this stuff than I would have expected. And set the bare knuckle stuff aside. These two bare knuckle promotions, they're attracting fighters of a caliber that I wouldn't have expected them to get.
Yeah.
You know, like, if he's in PFL with Kayla Harrison, I'd get it. But bare knuckle boxing in Wyoming, that either says that you owe some really, really scary people money, or some really, really scary people want to give you money.
What do you think they're paying Hendricks?
I don't know. Like, it seems like the kind of thing somebody's like, here's 200 grand. You're like, yeah, I'll do it for 200 grand. But yeah. I bet he's probably going to get like 40 if he's lucky. I bet it's some really sad payout. Like, you could probably look at their past shows and get a decent idea of where they're at pay-wise.
Yeah. It's just crazy. He beat Carlos Condit, Josh Koscheck, John Fitch, Martin Kampman, Robbie Lawler. It's like, he was the best welterweight in the world there for a minute. And just amazing. That's a rapid Paulo Filho like decline.
Now he's fighting in a city that most children see it on a map and think it's a ghost.
I hope he shows up with like a tattoo on his face.
Oh yeah, he's got to do something weird like that. He's gonna, he's gonna miss weight. There's no way he makes it. No way, zero chance. And he's just gonna be like, I think, you know, 205 with my frame is because it's kind of where I see myself.
I feel stronger.
Yeah. Oh, you know he's gonna give this "I feel stronger" talk, and then eventually we're gonna see some. It's gonna be because I still expect one day, and it'll happen in Japan first, them to do MMA with weapons. I really think that somebody's gonna do it. With, like, I think it's gonna be sticks or something like that, like a wooden staff or something like that.
And then Russia, they do like night fights.
Oh yeah,
like,
they wear
armor and shit. Yeah.
We're gonna do something like that here, and eventually it's gonna be like, I don't know. In what's a weird state that nobody goes to for anything? Idaho, Idaho or something, somewhere there's white racists and all that. And it's gonna be Johnny Hendricks versus Anthony Johnson with weapons.
Anthony Johnson's looking large.
Yeah. And so, Johnny Hendricks sees that as a challenge.
Another weird story I came across this week. Henry Cejudo loses UFC title belt during flight en route to Moscow.
Is this like one of those continue with the story? I there's a story like this. Actually, you probably know it very well, about Robert Kraft and his ring.
Yeah, did he give it to Putin, or Putin liked it and just took it or something?
It was something like Putin wanted to see it, and then he just took it. And I think it was Robert Kraft. He was just kind of like, I don't know what to do. And like, that's real power, because guys like Kraft generally go through life doing anything they want. Right. And Putin just literally stole jewelry off of his hand, and he wouldn't do anything. Holy shit, the erections that Vladimir Putin must sport are incredible.
Or I don't know, sometimes it's the opposite issue with guys like that.
No, the rush of power you would get from that to walk up to he walked up to a billionaire and stole his jewelry right off his hand. Holy shit, man. I mean, you got to have big swinging brass. Like, that's of all the things you can say about Trump, he's got the personality type that if Putin tried that with him, Trump would punch him. There's no way Donald Trump would ever let that happen. Ever. I bet that's why Trump shakes hands so weird. He learned that other billionaires try to steal your fancy rings, so he's always pulling them into him at the last second.
That handshake is one of his best moves. Kind of forgot about that.
And it's so weird, like, you know that he can't, like, help it. Or I should say this, that he doesn't want to stop it, and he likes doing it that way. It's so awkward, and he... Oh, Mark Cuban's giving $10 million to women's organizations.
That's not a lot of money for him.
Oh, it's because the NBA ended an investigation into the Mavericks organization. People in his staff are, like, probably abusing women.
Yeah, I saw something about that. That sounds familiar. So UFC flyweight champ Henry Cejudo did not have a good experience during his flight to Moscow over the weekend. Shocker. After being tapped as a guest fighter to attend UFC Fight Night... the newly crowned 125-pound title holder lost his luggage. The UFC did take Cejudo on a shopping spree to replace his lost clothes, but unfortunately for him, his title belt was among those that never came back. Unfortunately, my belt is in my luggage, so now on top of my gold medal, now it's my belt. I don't know what it is about gold, but I can't keep it. Cejudo lost his Olympic gold medal during a California wildfire he escaped from last October.
So I can't believe he actually brings the belt with him. He has to, it's like pro wrestling where you got to carry the belt with you. They don't just have a prop that he puts on. Like, is he Tim Sylvia this shit?
I guess so.
I mean, I guess I would too, but still, I'm an idiot.
He did get the belt back. They found his luggage and he got it back, but for a couple days MIA in Russia.
Hey, say what you will about Putin. If something goes missing in his country and he wants to find it, they find it.
I bet his belt has been poisoned.
That's so stupid.
Speaking of stupid people, Melvin Gillard is facing 4 felony charges in 2 separate incidents. The mixed martial arts veteran is facing charges of felony assault and misdemeanor domestic violence in Jefferson County, Colorado, I think. Gillard was arrested April 23rd by officers from the Lakewood Police Department. Gillard's girlfriend told officers that during an argument, Gillard put his hands around her neck and strangled her because he didn't want her to be too loud and wake others in the home.
It's kind of like when my father used to yell at us to tell us to be quiet.
The alleged victim said while he was choking her, she was scared he might kill her. She told officers that she slapped...
Oh, really? Really? You thought when he was choking you that he might kill you?
She told the officers that she slapped Gillard in the face to get him to stop strangling her. The two began arguing again, the alleged victim said, and when the volume raised, Gillard grabbed her around the neck with one arm, put it under her chin, and cut off her breathing. She said she began shaking from side to side while strangling her.
So it sounds like he probably didn't, like, choke her so much, like you kind of, like, can stiffen your hand and just kind of jab it in someone's throat, like, really aggressive and control them, like you would do with, like, a dog, maybe. But I'm glad to know that her slap got him to stop at one point, so his chin still sucks.
Per the affidavit, when officers made contact with the alleged victim, they noticed her left eye was bruised and swollen. She told officers that the argument was about when Gillard would leave his wife to be with her.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh. I really shouldn't laugh. That's really horrible. But you're cheating on your wife with your girlfriend, and then you beat your girlfriend too? Like, don't you usually treat the mistress well? Is that the whole point of having a mistress? Like, you kind of spoil her because you don't have to, like, put up with her shit? Melvin Gillard, man. I don't think his story ends well.
Gillard, who is 35... was in court September 10th for the domestic violence case when he was arrested for another incident, an alleged assault at a Denver bar September 3rd. TMZ was first to report that situation, including the publishing of a surveillance video that appears to show Gillard knocking someone out with a right hand. According to online records, Gallard is being held on $10,000 cash bond for four charges stemming from the bar incident, three second-degree assault, and one third-degree assault. He remains in custody in Jefferson County as of, I guess, last Thursday.
So he was arrested for beating his girlfriend while he's cheating on his wife, and as he's getting arrested for that, he gets rearrested for an offense or bar fight in Denver, right?
Apparently.
And this is coming after just a couple weeks ago. I remember we had a story where they were raising money to get him out of jail so he could go do a bare-knuckle boxing fight.
Mm. He's seems to be on the skids.
I'm thinking that he might need a little help. He seems like he's kind of out of control.
You mean like a good lawyer?
Priest, lawyer, doctor,
exorcist. Whatever.
Anything you can find at this point, someone that's willing to put up with him, who could maybe could Joe Stevenson. I don't know.
On Friday night, we have Bellator number 205. This will be live on the Paramount Network and DAZN. Main event is AJ McKee versus John Macapa.
Did Macapa also at one point beat up AJ's dad?
I'm not sure. That's the PFL guy I think you're thinking of. But whatever. Yes, AJ McKee's dad. Antonio was a fighter as well, yes. We also have John Salter versus Rafael Lovato Jr.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out.
Veda Arteaga versus Denise Kielholz.
Sure, yeah.
You know what's funny? That pause, the cricket like chirped.
I know, it makes it really, it works really well. I'm really enjoying the cricket, to be honest, because I'm always a little nervous if, you know, has the recording gone off, that we lose something. I can just hear the cricket go, nope, we're still good.
Patricky Pitbull Frere versus Roger Huerta opens the show.
Roger Huerta. I remember when I thought he hadn't fought for 8 years or
whatever. Yeah, he had fought like once a month for the last four. Yeah.
I mean, talk about your career going off the rails. Then again,
Melvin Gallard
looks up and wishes he could be Roger Huerta. That's a best case scenario for him.
MMA is so weird, though, because you look like Melvin Gallard, 35, Roger Huerta, 35. I think like Cowboy Cerrone is 35. Yeah. And like their career trajectories are so different, and they all kind of came up around roughly the same time, you know? And it's just amazing where like Cerrone is and all the wars he's been in and potential trouble he could have gotten into, because he's crazy too. It's just like a different kind of crazy. He's managed to keep it together enough where he's a multimillionaire. These other guys are just fucking disasters. It's interesting.
They Cerrone and Gallard in particular, like they both want that rush of adrenaline and excitement in their life. Cerrone like gets it through doing crazy things, and then he's kind of satiated, whereas Gallard uses cocaine.
Yeah, that doesn't work out well for everyone. Unless you're Conor McGregor or John Jones.
I was going to say, John Jones in particular, that explains that he ratted out Melvin Gallard.
That's why he's in jail. I feel like they've probably had words at some point in their lives. And remember John Jones going after Tyson Griffin for no reason?
That was weird. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's because John Jones, and I guarantee you the words he had with Melvin Gallard or something like, who even cares about you? You're Melvin Gallard. And he'll say it in that way where you're just like, yeah, he's telling the truth, man. He's gotcha.
Like, my favorite John Jones is still when he first met Daniel Cormier and he goes, you're a wrestler, huh? I bet I could take you down.
I mean, it's so amazing. Like that, I think that's part of the appeal. I know it's part of the appeal of guys like Trump and John Jones is that they are truly honest. Like in a weird way, like while they obviously lie, they're also not lying. Like they actually think they live in a world where they believe that the rules don't apply and that they can get away and do anything. And honestly, the world has given them no reason to think otherwise.
I don't remember this. Melvin Gillard pulls knife on fighter. I'm going down a rabbit hole
here. I was going to say, like, if you're going to go down a rabbit hole of Melvin Gillard crazy, you're going to be like, wow, that's a real deep-ass rabbit hole. Like, I saw, I think I passed Alice twice.
On Saturday, September 22nd in Sao Paulo, Brazil, we have UFC Fight Night number 137, Thiago Santos versus Eric Anders. I believe the original main event for the show is Glover Teixeira versus Jimmy Manoa.
Laughable main event in and of itself.
Glover gets injured. He was replaced by Thiago Santos because they wanted a Brazilian guy in the main event on the show in Brazil. Then Jimmy Manoa pulls out, and now we have Eric Anders stepping in. Anders is coming off a good knockout win where he kicked that guy in the head when he was down. And both guys are moving up to 205 because it's a short notice fight. They both typically fight at 185. So they'll probably be fat and gas early in what I'm hoping is still a 5-round fight just for the sheer entertainment of it.
Look, if I'm going to sit here and watch this shit, and I'm going to, it better be 5 rounds. Also, Sao Paulo, like I would say, like in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro is like their New York City. Sao Paulo is like their probably like an LA, Chicago, Boston level city. And that's an insult, except for, you know, they're going to turn out and watch it.
Let's find out. Like, largest cities of Brazil.
Like, that's, you know, size of prestige. Like,
Sao Paulo is the biggest city in Brazil.
Oh, really?
12 million people. It's double the size of Rio.
Wow, that is surprising. Well, there you go. An even bigger insult to the Brazilian people. And if there's, although I will say the Brazilian people, they tend not to get insulted easily. So I'm sure this will pass.
Yeah, they seem to laugh things off, like being called filthy animals and stuff.
For all the people talking about American nationalism, like the Brazilians, of all like the South Americans in particular, the Brazilians are hyper-nationalistic. Like, I never hear Peruvians talk about that shit, but Brazilians. And I think it may be because they have a real racist history also with slaves and stuff. And maybe, like, slavery, like, defines you as a country and gives you something like, you know, this is our national identity. Like, we're the people that enslaved other people. Then again, Mexicans are proud of their culture. No one knows what the fuck that's about.
I'm not sure, but I think we have the worst co-main event ever.
Worse than Jan Blachowicz?
Yep.
What is it?
This is a welterweight fight. Alex Oliveira versus Carlo Pedersoli Jr. Second from the top.
That's better than Jan Blachowicz versus...
No.
Who did Jan just fight?
Krylov.
Yeah, no, because Cowboy Oliveira has done something in life that I will remember for a long time when he had some awesome fights. So that's better than Jan Blachowicz, who I think might look like a smaller Sergei Kharitonov, or he could look like I think that's what he looks like. That's a
Carlo Pedersoli Jr.
He sounds like he's a luchador. I'm expecting him to like come out there and defend the honor of his family's mask.
He's gonna shave Alex Oliveira's head after. Oliveira's coming off that Condit win. He had the good fight with Yancy Medeiros before that.
Good fight. That's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers
it. Nobody's going to I know, but we're... Nobody, okay, fine.
It's an amazing fight. Also,
I agree.
His name's Charles Oliveira. No, it's not. Is it?
No, that's the other one. That's the skinnier one.
What's his first name?
Who always gets choked out with guillotines. This is Alex.
Alex Oliveira. That's right. Yeah, like we can't call him Cowboy. He lost that to Cerrone in that fight. Cerrone won that title.
Yeah.
They really should have made that a stipulation, and they should force him to adhere to it to this day.
I like when he misses weight by like 6 pounds and wins the fight and then like spits at his opponent and crotch chops him. I like when he does that. It's always good.
Yeah, you know, Brazilians, man.
I think that was Will Brooks. I think.
Will Brooks.
Yeah, he's in PFL now. Third from the top, Sam Alvey versus Little Nod.
Okay, see, here's the thing. That's a better fight
than
anything in Russia. Like, here, I know, honest to goodness, that should be the main event. If that was the main event, I would be like, I get it. Little Nog, Sam Alvey's, like, that's a fight that between two people. I go, oh, I know them. I watch that. It's sad.
It's how old real... do you think Little Nog is right now?
41?
42.
Damn it.
How old does he look, though?
Oh, how old was Methuselah at the end there?
I don't know.
912. I don't know.
Is that Bible stuff? What is that?
Yeah, Methuselah's Bible. But you've heard of Methuselah, haven't you?
Yeah. Is she related to Medusa?
No. Methuselah is just an old person in the Bible. I think they may have been the oldest person. I don't know if there's. I think Adam might be the oldest person in the Bible. I don't know. Some of those people are like 900 years. That was before. Huh. That was back then when people aged differently. Like,
yeah, because of their diet. They were all eating paleo back then.
Yeah, evolution has evolved man to die quicker.
At bantamweight, we've got Henan Barral versus Andre Yule.
Again, better than anything in Moscow. That's a former real champion.
Will Henan Barral make 135?
No.
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 Okay. Good to know. Oh, fuck me. I just thought of something. I gotta find it.
I mean, if you ask like that.
Hang on. What else?
You say he's fighting Yul Brynner?
I'm going to tell you all the other fights on this card while then I'm going to look something up. Oh. Ronda Marcos versus Marina Rodriguez. Charles Oliveira versus Christis Gaigos. Francisco Trinaldo versus Evan Dunham. Luis Henrique versus Ryan Spann. Augusto Sakai versus Chase Sherman. There's a lot of fights on this show. Then on Fight Pass.
Oh, geez.
Sergio Moraes versus Ben Saunders. Myra Bueno Silva versus Jillian Robertson. Talis Latis versus Hector Lombard is on Fight Pass. Eliza Selesky dos Santos versus Luigi Vendramanini. And Livia Hanato Souza versus Alex Chambers.
Look, some of those fights, okay, none of them are actually very good, but they all have names. Like, Henan Barral is a big name. Guy sucks. The Little Nog, same thing. Honest to goodness, Talis Latis and Hector Lombard at one point easily would have been a main event in the UFC, especially these days. I didn't think Hector Lombard was still around. I thought he'd been suspended for something. I think he was suspended for...
No, he came back. Remember he had that fight with CB Dolloway?
Yeah.
Where he knocked him out after the bell. So I forgot this part. Conor Khabib tomorrow. There's prop bets out on the presser. Have you seen these?
Of course not.
Good. So you're going to tell me how you would bet on these. You ready?
Sure.
Will Conor and Khabib have to be separated?
Yes.
That's minus 900, though. You have to bet 900 bucks to win 100.
I'm not betting on that, no.
Okay. No is plus 500.
Okay, here's the problem. Is define separated.
I'm not sure how these offshore betting sites define separated.
I would actually take that. I'd put $5-$10 on it or whatever.
On them
not being separated, yeah.
Okay. Will either Conor or Khabib throw something? Yes is plus 125. No is minus 165.
If you include sunglasses, then Conor will throw his sunglasses, but I don't think they will throw anything major.
No chairs.
Or water bottles, no.
Or dollies. Conor does like to throw things.
True. You know, when you put it like that, it's like, are they referring to the dolly, the chair, the water bottle, insults?
Bottle of whiskey?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, that's definitely coming into play because Conor was going to want to get like, and Conor McGregor was throwing his whiskey at him.
And so I was trying to figure out a way to make Conor throw his whiskey at Nate instead of the Monster Energy drinks, but I don't have that kind of technology. Will Conor McGregor be chewing gum?
That's a weird one. Yeah. He'll be chewing gum.
All right, that's even. If you bet 100 bucks, you win 100.
Yeah, because he's gonna be all coked up. He's going to like occupy his mouth and stuff. Yeah.
Will Khabib Nurmagomedov wear a papaka? That's his weird hat.
His fucking clown wig. They can call it whatever they want. It's a fucking clown wig. It's just like a clown wig that got bleached in the sun.
You're very culturally insensitive.
His culture kills gay people. Fuck him. Like, his culture, like, kills them and then denies that they exist. Yeah, fuck off. I think he'll wear it, yeah.
Wow. That's plus 260.
Yeah, I think he shows up with it somehow.
Okay. All right. What will Conor McGregor wear? Suit is minus 525. Polo is plus 215. Or t-shirt is plus 475.
Leather pants and a fur coat. No okay. shirt. Where's the no shirt option?
That's not listed.
He's going to wear a t-shirt. McGregor. A t-shirt. Something that's got the name of his whiskey on it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Good idea. Will Conor McGregor wear sunglasses?
Yes.
That's minus 800, so you'd have to bet $800 to win 100.
I wouldn't bet on it. Now, I would never take any bet that long, but he's wearing sunglasses, yeah.
Will Conor McGregor say the words proper 12? That's the name of the whiskey.
Oh, yes.
Yes is minus 5,000.
Hey, my God. Like, it's honestly to the point where Conor might not say it just to make money on the bet.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. No is plus 2,000. You bet $100, you'd win $2,000 if he doesn't mention it. It's pretty good. Will Conor McGregor take a drink of his whiskey?
Yes.
Will Khabib Nurmagomedov say the term tap machine?
Is that a thing he says?
I guess he says it about Conor.
Oh,
he calls Conor a tap machine.
Okay, if he's been calling Conor that, I could see him saying that. Yeah.
Will Conor McGregor say Russian mafia?
Ooh.
Odds
no.
are yes plus 600, no minus 1200.
Oh. What's a weird question then? Because like that feels like something very specific. Like you'd be like, hey, let's say Russian mafia. But if they're saying like the odds are that he won't, why would you even offer that bet?
Not sure. Over under. Here, total curse word said by Conor McGregor, 10.
Over.
I would say over as well. And who knows how you define a curse word anyway. Will Mystic Mac predict a knockout finish over Khabib?
Yes.
Will Conor reference that he's the real lightweight champion?
Yes.
Will Conor grab or steal Khabib's UFC title belt?
No.
Total questions asked to Dana White, over or under 5?
Probably over.
Total questions asked to Conor, over or under 18?
Under.
Total questions asked to Khabib, over or under 10?
Under.
Will anyone be arrested at the Broadway viewing party?
Yes.
So stupid. That,
absolutely. Somebody's getting, there's some drunk asshole.
Yeah, yes is plus 300. You have to bet 300 to win 100. All right. in stuff news, I guess this was a national story. I wasn't really paying attention. I saw it a lot around here. About maybe 45 minutes from my house, maybe an hour, there was a fatal shark attack for the first time in Massachusetts since 1936. Basically, this 26-year-old kid from north of Boston, a town called Revere, was attacked in Wellfleet. I think this shark like bit his leg off, basically, and he bled out on the beach. It did not sound pleasant. And this shark thing's been a big story on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, this area where I live, all summer long. Another guy got bit probably, I want to say, like July, maybe. And was rushed to the hospital, survived, airlifted out, that sort of shit. But this kid didn't make it. And he apparently laughed it off like his aunt or something. He's like, oh, be careful at the beach. There's sharks or whatever. And this kid's like, oh, I'll be fine, da-da-da. And, like, I've gone swimming in the ocean a couple times this year and stuff. And I'm not that concerned about it. But this is a big story around here. And I guess even you heard about it. And you're typically living under a rock.
Yeah, no, it's we lifted the rock up high today so I could get some better reception. Look, I don't know why people go in the ocean. I'm not going to the fucking ocean ever again. I'm never going to do it. There's just First of all, the only time that I've ever really been in the ocean, it was like in Florida and like the Bahamas. And the Bahamas was super salty. And it was so unpleasant that I'm like, why would I ever do this ever?
Yes.
And now that, you know, for sharks, if there's sharks up at Cape Cod, nah, fuck that. Like, I like looking at the ocean. I love looking at water and stuff like that. But going in there, if I ever go in the ocean, I'm not going to go ever, ever above my head. Probably not above my waist.
Yeah.
Because, no, I'm not going to get eaten by a shark.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting about it. Like, I've lived around here my whole life. This is the first time a shark's killed anyone on Cape since 1936. You know what I mean? It's been 80-something years. So it's very,
very rare. Attacks happen?
What's that?
It's the first time anybody's been killed, but do people, like, sharks attack people?
Like, this is like Jaws, like, that movie was a big deal because that was, like, Nantucket. That's, again, I can see that from where I live almost.
Oh, I thought that might... I thought that might have been up there, but then I was like, no, it's got to be like San Diego.
It was filmed up here, too. I know somebody who was an extra in it. Like, it was
a shark?
Yes, the fake animatronic shark. I knew Jaws. Huh. But to me, at this point, it's one of those things where it's like one in a billion chance still that you're going to get bit by a shark. Literally hundreds of thousands of people swam in the water around here. It's like winning the lottery, getting struck by lightning. It's not something I'm real worried about. You know, I would still go in the water now and not be that concerned. Typically sharks don't come that close to shore where it's ever an issue. Like that's why you hear about it, because it doesn't happen often and it's a big deal and people get freaked out. But that's just me from living here my whole 38 years on Earth. And I get that it freaks people out and scares them, but it's like anything. It gets blown out of proportion, I think, and people get scared and then it'll blow over and hopefully there won't be another one. Because it will drastically affect like tourism around here.
Yeah.
Our whole thing is based on people coming to the beach and swimming and that sort of thing. If people are too scared to come to the beach, it's gonna be bad for business, as they say.
The odds of getting attacked by a shark are 1 in 11.5 million.
Mm.
The odds of getting killed by a shark are less than 1 in 264 million. By the way, keep in mind there are 330 million people in the United States. And to contrast that, though, the odds of getting attacked or injured by a bear are 1 in 2.7 million.
Wow.
However, this Forbes article is entitled, "What are the odds of getting bit by both a bear and a shark?"
On the same day.
I don't know if they mean the same day, so I'll see.
That's a shitty afternoon.
Let's see. So then you ask, as a shark, on 87.
You know, going to the beach didn't really work out. Maybe we should go camping instead. Fuck.
Look, as a man who wants to get eaten by a bear, that sounds awesome. What's the fucking odds, people? I want to know what the fucking odds are. Yes, don't tell me that. Yeah, I know there's all this fucking bullshit where you gotta like, explain your math or whatever. Like, I don't want you to tell me your math. What? This isn't grade school. I don't need you to show me your work. Just give me the fucking number. I don't care how many quadrillion it is to get it also attacked by a snake or something.
The other issue, the theory, there's shark sightings around here. People see them more often, but usually it's out. You're out on a boat and you'll see a fin or whatever. And
really,
yeah, sharks aren't going to mess with a. My father-in-law saw one within the last 2 weeks.
I would freak the fuck out. Even if I was on a boat, I would be convinced that shark would just ram the boat and that it could eat the boat.
You've seen Jaws. You know what I mean? Like you're out of touch with reality, which is fine. But
I hear that a lot.
The theory is there's more seals around here because I guess seals, like, I don't know how long ago or when the law was changed or whatever, but there's a federal law that says you can't hunt seals. They're a protected species. You can't hunt them. And I guess back in the day, people would do whatever with seals. I don't know.
Club them. You club them.
Yeah, but I don't know what you use them for. If you eat them or you use them for like fuel. Like they would use whale. Like whaling was a thing around here a couple hundred years ago. And you would like light your lamps with the fat from the whale. But can you imagine? Like that was only 200 years ago. You would like kill whales so you could have light at night. Like we are spoiled.
That's true. I mean, they kill them for more than just the oil.
Bitch when our free fucking app on our phone won't record our shit podcast. Like that's our biggest dilemma in the day. People had to use a whale blubber to have light. Holy shit.
What do you mean shit?
What do you mean?
Shit podcast.
I'm sorry.
So have you seen a whale?
Yeah, of course.
Like out in the wild?
Yes.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
So like,
let's back up. People go, there's a thing called like whale watches. You go on like a ferry, basically, a big ass boat, and you can go see whales. But I've also been out on like a small, like 21, 22 foot boat and seen whales also.
Have you, I don't know how big boats are. Have you seen a dolphin?
No, but I've know people who have, yeah, seen so schools like, of dolphins, yeah.
I know how this sounds, but people, look, those animals, like, those fish really exist, like, yeah. Near, like, people, like, they're not, like, I always assume, like, whales are, like, out in the middle of the ocean, afar, like, you wouldn't be, like, see them from, you know, they would be, don't they need more water than we have near the shore?
They go where the food is. Oh. You know what I mean? And that's the thing with the seals. There's more seals around here. They got to be on land. They're not swimming out way out in the ocean. So there's a shitload of seals. Like I went out.
Really?
There's an island off. Like if you look at Cape Cod, like the elbow of the Cape. I don't know if you're pulling up a map as we speak. I hear keyboard. But I guess what would that be? The southeastern tip of the Cape. There's a little island that juts off. It used to be connected to the Cape, but the tides and whatever currents or whatever.
Global warming.
No, it comes and goes, but whatever.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, sometimes there's a breach in the sand. They used to. There's a lighthouse out there. There used to be some houses and stuff. Anyway, there's a shitload of seals on that island. Like I was out there this summer and there were dead seals floating around in the water with like teeth marks in them.
Like, really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was creepy.
Are seals for you guys kind of like what I mentioned, like geese are for me, where they're just like fucking everywhere and everybody hates them?
They're not really. No, you have to like kind of venture out. They're not around like people that much. You kind of got to go out and look for them.
Is it intimidating to see like a whole bunch of seals? You get like freaked out that they're going to attack you?
No, because I'm on a boat. I'm not on land going up to them and they're on the shore. You see them on the shore just kind of like laying in the sun. But I wouldn't be in a real rush to go swimming around a bunch of seals with the idea a shark would be around the corner.
What is, can seals like attack you?
I don't know.
I don't really know. I mean, I'm trying to think of seals. Like, I guess I've seen them at the aquarium.
Yeah,
I wasn't really impressed.
You might have seen otters too. Seals are pretty big. They're a few hundred pounds, anyways.
Otters big bone.
They're pretty thick.
Are they thick tots? Tots is a thing. I think they say.
I don't know what thick tots means.
THOT. I think it's like a black Instagram big ass or something like that.
Huh. I feel like I should be up on that. But
I know. I was a little surprised. I expect, as the resident black man on the show, I thought you'd know this stuff.
I don't know about thoughts. Anyway, so yeah, that was the big news in my neck of the woods. In Arizona, the big news was a man was accused of pretending to have Down syndrome and hired caregivers to bathe him and change his diapers, police said. Paul Anthony Machaca, 31, of Gilbert, Arizona, was arrested on September 6th on fraud and sexual abuse charges. The Gilbert Police Department said Machaca posed as a woman named Amy on a caregiver job site called CareLinks, saying she needed assistance with her adult son. Three caregivers, all women, were hired to care for Machaca various points over the summer, with the first woman saying she bathed and assisted him 30 times. Sergeant Daryl Kruger, a spokesperson for the Gilbert Police Department, told the Washington Post, Menchaca asked the caregivers to meet him at restaurants to change his dirty diapers in the public bathrooms. All three women said Menchaca became aroused during the baths. The caregiver said Amy texted them, telling them to punish Menchaca for his soiled diaper.
Okay, first of all, okay, he gets aroused during this, and that's the crime. But the one lady says she did it like 30 times or whatever. Like, okay, like it's weird, it's creepy. I guess that like I understand where like you could find an offense like to arrest somebody for this, but this seems more like somebody's just arresting him because that's a way to get him in the system and get him some real help. I hope.
The first caregiver became suspicious and followed Menchaca home earlier this month and met his parents. She discovered Menchaca did not have Down syndrome and did not require diaper changes. The man's
An awkward conversation with his mom. So is your son retarded? No. So he doesn't need me to be changing his diapers for him?
Oh, sorry. Wears who diapers?
You? Who are you again? Like, I imagine it's a Jamaican. I imagine they're black women. Like, usually Jamaican, because, like, that's what I see in nursing homes, always Jamaican ladies.
Do you go to nursing homes a lot?
My grandma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have been in a nursing home, plus free sex. And, just a Jamaican lady shows up in this lily white neighbor, knocks on the door, and goes, is your son retarded, and does he shit himself a lot?
By the way, my name's, I don't know, Rihanna.
Well played, because I didn't know where you were going to go there. I knew you wanted to find a name that was like we would assume is like, oh, that's kind of a black name, but you don't want to go racist, but you wanted an island name, and you found the one island name. Well done.
Where are we here? The band's parents told investigators Menchaca does not have Down syndrome. In a video of an initial court appearance, Menchaca said he has special needs and a low IQ level. My mom and dad both have paperwork to prove that and started to talk to my dad about getting me some help and getting me a counselor. And Chaka was slated to appear in court on September 17th. I don't know how that went.
You're like, I know this gets in the news, or it gets in the news for a lot of reasons. This to me is the kind of thing that, like, unlike a Harvey Weinstein, this is sad. And I think this is a guy that does need help. Like, I know he's like, people want to like tar and feather him, but this isn't like your sexual assault type of guy. This is a grown man pretending to be retarded so people will change his diapers and tell him he's a bad boy. Like, what the fuck? Like, when you find out if you found out that was Coop one day, like 20 years from now, somebody knocks on your door. Says, is your son retarded? And does he like to shit himself? You have to like, that's like that moment where you can like see the light bulb not go off in your head, just like get snuffed out. And you just go, oh shit, I failed as a parent.
I'd be like, yeah, that's him. I know.
That's the thing, like, if somebody showed up and said, asked my mom that, well, she would be horrified. In no way would she be like completely blindsided.
Sounds like you two have an odd relationship.
I think it's just my family would expect me to fake being retarded for some reason. It sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, or just be yourself.
Yeah, well, shut up. Fuck you.
One of my favorite billionaires is being sued for libel. Tesla CEO Elon Musk.
By the pedo guy?
Yeah, he's being sued for libel and slander by the rescue diver. He called a pedo guy and child rapist.
Yeah, he's paying up on that one.
British cave explorer Vernon Unsworth filed a lawsuit against Musk on Monday in California for defamation. Unsworth is seeking at least $75,000 in compensatory damages.
Easy compensatory.
I know. I'm tired. I'm gassed here. I'm like five rounds deep like Eric Anders. As well as an injunction Musk requiring him to refrain from making further publication of the false and defamatory accusations. Elon Musk falsely accused Unsworth of being guilty of heinous crimes, Unsworth attorney said. Musk's influence and wealth cannot convert his lies into truth or protect him from accountability for his wrongdoing in a court of law.
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to lose. Wait, is this filed in Britain?
California, I think.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, huh, I thought for sure they get him in Britain, because I thought this guy was in Britain you get nailed for this stuff. Here it'll be tougher, but I still think this. If I'm this guy, I really think this is a pretty. Yep, you win. Like, you get this one right away. I don't even know why you filed suit. Must you just write him a check, Vic? Here's $1 million. Sorry, I'm an idiot. Also, he's got to stop doing drugs.
Musk and Unsworth have been locked in a heated back and forth for weeks after Unsworth questioned Musk's efforts to aid in the rescue of a Thai boys soccer team. Musk shot back at Unsworth on Twitter in mid-July, calling him a pedo guy, among other claims. You know what? Don't bother showing the video, Musk tweeted. We will make one of the mini sub pod going all the way to K5. No problemo. Sorry, pedo guy. You really did ask for it. In the lawsuit, Unsworth legal team denied all the claims. This is in the paperwork, I guess. Musk's false and defamatory accusations falsely accused Mr. Unsworth of being a pedophile, a child rapist, a child sex trafficker, the husband of a 12-year-old child bride, and a liar.
Really?
Yes, apparently. Wait,
okay. The husband of a 12-year-old child bride is an oddly specific insult. And I'm wondering, where does this pedo guy thing come from?
I don't know.
Like, I'm totally with them until, did this guy marry, an 18-year-old? And suddenly you go, wait, maybe he is a pedophile, and we're all kind of supposed to look the other way and be like, no, it's totally normal, Roy Moore.
Musk deleted the tweets and tweeted an apology to Unsworth a few days after. However, he resurfaced the controversy in late August, saying it was strange that Unsworth had not sued him over the comments yet. A lawyer for Unsworth had sent a letter to Musk on August 6th asking the CEO to contact him in order to avoid a lawsuit and to correct the alleged false statements. So Musk was essentially asking for it. Like, he was trolling the guy because maybe Musk thinks this is true and he's safe. And he's like essentially saying, if what I said isn't true, why didn't the guy sue me? And now the guy is.
I really want to keep harping on the fact that Musk seems out of control and dangerous and all this stuff. But I'm thinking somebody learned the lessons of Trump.
Maybe. Would you base that on the Joe Rogan thing?
The Joe Rogan thing, the fact that Elon Musk seems to have a lot of money and a lot of fame. And I've never really heard of anything he's done. And despite everything he's doing, it seems like he keeps making money and getting stuff. Like, I'm seeing positive news about SpaceX or whatever. Like, they're going to announce some Japanese dude's going to be the first guy to fly around the moon or some shit. And I don't know. I want to say that this backfires, that this is like we're watching a man collapse in front of us and that this isn't good behavior. But I don't know. Donald Trump's president, man. Could be fine. This could totally fucking work out for him. He could absolutely be like, yeah, I called him a pedophile, and we get to trial. Turns out the guy's got, kitty pictures everywhere. You're like, son of a bitch, made it happen.
Wait, he made all his money from PayPal, right?
He was, invested in a lot. It was something PayPal and some other thing. He's not as bad as Cuban. You know, Mark Cuban really, really doesn't deserve his money. Like, he sold he was just pure .com boom speculation.
Sound like Bernie Sanders.
Okay, well, Cuban is he was just got out at the right time.
That's what the market will bear, you fuck.
No. Well, I understand it, but like Musk and some of these other guys, I never quite know exactly what they've done. And I suspect that it might be a little overblown because I think the guys who are really that we should be worried about, not Elon Musk, it's whoever's behind Google, because they're not those guys don't make noise. They're not big and showy, and yet they literally run the world now.
Right.
That's scary shit. And then this big black chick is beating the fuck out of this white chick. Holy shit. She's fucking pounding on her, and I don't like the fact that she's swinging her fists like that, because there's only one animal that hits people like that, and I don't want to make the reference. She's also grabbing the fence a lot. Huh.
Did you hear about J.J. Redick and his cab ride, his Uber ride?
I saw him in the news or something, but...
basketball player J.J. Redick hosted a podcast with Orlando Magic rookie Mo Bamba this week. But if you tuned in for the first 9 minutes of it, you may have mistaken it for a crime show. That's because Redick decided to share a story of a recent car ride in Brooklyn where he did a photo shoot for a men's fashion company. What began as a standard recollection of life as a celebrity in the Big Apple, however, quickly descended into a dark mystery that may or may not have included a child abduction.
Does J.J. Redick count as a celebrity, really?
We both know who he is.
Yeah, but, I mean, we both know who Brian is.
Brian.
My brother.
Okay. As Redick tells it, the story begins with a clothing company providing Redick, his wife Chelsea, and her twin sister Kylie a ride back from an apartment where the photo shoot took place. All three put their bags into a bucket seat Escalade, despite the car smelling kind of weird. And before long, Chelsea, pale as a ghost, whispers to Redick that there's a person in the back. At that point, Redick says he noticed a blanket, a big blanket, and then a cage or a box in the trunk of the car with clearly something underneath the blanket. After asking the driver to pull over, all three exited the vehicle. Redick says he then saw the blanket move and ultimately had the driver check for himself. Because it's New York City, you don't know, Redick says. I don't know what this is. Is it a python? Is it a robber? I don't know.
Wait, those are your options? Human being or giant snake?
The driver then lifted the blanket, except he did it towards the window so we couldn't see because we were on the sidewalk. According to Redick, as the driver walks back to his front seat, assuring his passengers there's nothing in the trunk, a head pops up.
Oh.
This is not funny, Redick.
Not a snake.
There's a back of a female head, blonde hair. There's a ponytail. Based on the size of the box,
we don't know that's a female. We don't know that's a female. That's very sexist of him. All right.
Based on the size of the box or cage that the person is in, it's either like a very small human or a child. The driver
isn't that what a child is? A small human?
I guess so. Maybe he was speaking off the cuff here. The driver then left them on the sidewalk per Redick, who then confirmed with his sister-in-law what he saw. From there, the trio called both the car agency and the police. I was very explicit that he was harboring some sort of female.
Oh, shit, the big black chick who was kicking ass just got tapped out with an armbar. What a balls. Good for you, white girl. All right, yeah. This is what pride must feel like.
I was very explicit that he was harboring some sort of female under a blanket in a cage or a box in his trunk. Redick says admitting that he still gets goosebumps because of how disturbing the situation was, even though it occurred less than 24 hours before he recorded his podcast on Thursday. Since then, Redick says his wife has called the FBI tip line and opened a claim because it was a human being in the backseat of his car, definitely not a dog. In the meantime, he's theorized that the driver was transporting a sister, cousin, wife, or girlfriend who needed a ride across town and just didn't want to pay for an Uber or taxi. Or it could have been something far worse.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're sitting there going, it's probably just his girlfriend didn't want to pay for the taxi. Let's call the FBI. That's what they should be involved in.
I like that they said it smelled weird.
First of all, why are they calling the FBI? Like, I know the FBI is known for kidnappings and all this stuff, but this isn't an FBI thing. You just call the cops. Or, I don't know, Uber. Also, how hard is it going to be to find the guy? Also, you Ubered with them. There's a record of who drove you.
The driver has been suspended.
Oh. Well, at least there's some justice.
Speaking of potentially small children being abused, an 11-year-old child is being protected from a 45-year-old gamer who police say threatened the boy's life after losing to him in the wildly popular online video game Fortnite.
This doesn't surprise me at all.
With 125 million global players, Fortnite has become a cultural phenomenon, and police say highly addictive and overly competitive for some, including a Huntington man by the name of Michael Alapurdy. He was arrested Tuesday morning after allegedly threatening to shoot a boy from a Kings Park intermediate school after losing to him in a video game battle. I am very upset, Margarita Alapurdy, who added, when told her son allegedly threatened the boy, what do you mean threatening?
So,
So the 45-year-old's mom is defending him.
I mean, I'm not surprised that the 45-year-old man threatening people over Fortnite's sole representative in his life is his mother. I am so, like, I actually think I downloaded Fortnite because I heard about it. I was like, what is Fortnite? And, like, I tried to play it. Like, I think I seriously played it for, like, a minute and go, oh, this isn't stupid. Yeah. It's weird. Like, I grew up playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
But I have just zero interest in them. Like, something like this, like, I think it's because, like, I stopped playing video games before online gaming was a thing. So I have never done online gaming.
Yeah.
I've never. So the whole, like, online gaming culture, totally foreign to me. The little kids calling you a faggot or whatever, like, yeah, that, like, that's never happened to me. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I understand how it works. And I know what happened here. This guy got beat. And what he did is he probably, like, went online, like, did a quick Google, figure out who this kid was, be like, I know where you go to school, I'm going to kill you. You know, like, people make threats and they try to, like, add a little bit to make it seem like it's real. He's never really going to do anything. But at the same time, you gotta double check because it's a 45-year-old man saying he's going to kill a little kid over a video game.
Yeah, the kid's 11.
Yeah, you don't know that when you're getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, also, I don't know how that is.
But if you're okay, you're playing a video game, you get really, really angry, and you make a threat. It's stupid. I kind of get it. Like, I get overreacting to something. I get that a lot. But, I mean, you shouldn't be getting that involved in a game. Like, you shouldn't overreact to something unless you kind of, like, put a lot of time and effort into it. And if you put time and effort into a fucking video game, you still get beat by an 11-year-old. You shouldn't, like, have enough at stake to give a shit. Like, if I got beat by an 11-year-old in a video game, I'd look at it and be like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're fucking 11. Like, yeah, you should be doing better at this than I am. I wouldn't be like, how could this 11-year-old beat me?
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, I stopped playing video games in high school and then started playing some stuff with my kids now. You know, but yeah, I can't imagine some dude, like, my daughter's 10, like, screaming at my daughter saying he's going to kill her. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, can you also imagine your daughter, though, being such a bitch that she upset a grown man at a video game? Maybe this kid was out of line. Maybe your daughter needs to be put in her place. You know, maybe these kids are getting a little uppity.
Maybe, but
maybe they didn't know.
It sounds to me like that kid won fair and square.
I remember this has happened to me in the past. I was like 15 or 16, and I think it was Killer. No, it was Mortal Kombat 2. And I remember playing some, like, 10-year-old kid once, and, like, he was just kind of like, in hindsight, he was just playing the game. I thought he was being cheap or whatever. Like, yeah, he was cheating or some shit like that. I remember just getting very angry, but you're a fucking punk. But I didn't, you know, threaten him. I just, my dad and I drove back and got some pizza.
Finding dog poop in your yard can be incredibly frustrating, especially when you don't have a dog.
Yard.
One woman's frustration boiled over. She took action to make sure it doesn't happen again in Detroit. Video shows a woman walking up to someone's front door and start rubbing something on the handle. That something is dog feces. The homeowners say they didn't realize there was a problem, but neighbor Brenda Mullins is standing by what she did. The dog came and messed in my yard. I picked it up. I took it, put it on her door now. You don't want to clean it up here. You'll clean it up there. Mullins says her neighbors have been letting their dog use her yard as a toilet for a long time, and she finally snapped. The neighbors say they wish she would have talked to them first. No criminal charges have been filed at this time, though.
I would say that when somebody smears dog poop on your door handle, that I wish she had talked to me first is generally the response. I actually understand where everybody in the story is coming from. I see getting frustrated that your neighbor's dog keeps pooping in your yard. Like, I don't give a shit. But I know why that would become annoying over time. And I can see getting so frustrated. You know, fuck you. I'm going to put this poop on your house. Yeah, right. Fuck, that'll teach. Like, I get where that comes from. But I also understand, like, letting your dog shit in someone's yard. Who gives a shit? It's dog shit. It's just fucking crass. It blends in. It's not like you're stepping. Like, if you got kids, your kids step in it. I understand that'd be a pain in the ass. Otherwise, I don't know, let dogs shit where they want to shit.
In other animal news, we haven't talked about lobsters much lately, but there's
I've been wondering.
why I haven't brought that up.
Yeah, I thought we were a little light on lobster news.
Lobster news, yeah.
Holy shit, there's Chris Cyborg is meeting members of the Chargers, I guess the LA Chargers now. They're in pads. She's almost as big as some of these guys.
Not surprised. There's a restaurant in Maine called Charlotte's Legendary Lobster Pound, and she's been looking for ways to kill her crustaceans in a more humane way than tossing them into boiling water. So she's smoking out the lobsters by placing them into boxes that contain water that has been infused with marijuana smoke. Gil believes the pot-laced water will sedate the lobsters so their deaths aren't as traumatic.
I'm feeling very traumatic that she's wasting weed on a lobster.
Now, picture this, Mr. Coughlin. You imbibe in marijuana, I believe.
Yeah.
Would you feel better going into a pot of boiling water, having just hit your vape pen there? Or would it really not make that much of a difference for you?
If I got to go out, I'm going to go out getting high. Yeah.
But it would probably still be uncomfortable, right? You're not that comfortably numb, are you?
No, I think getting boiled alive hurts regardless of the drugs you have. I think it would be the eyeballs is where I really start feeling it. That'd be the problem for me. You would know, obviously. The whole, like, is there something like if you kill the lobster, poison gets secreted or something?
You're supposed to eat it immediately. Cook it while it's a lot. Because technically, evolutionarily speaking, like, lobsters are a bug, technically.
Yeah,
they've got, like,
they're
eight
dirty
lungs
animal.
And claws and shit. Like, back in the day, that's what they used to feed the slaves on the slave ships. Like, it was considered, like, garbage food. Now it's, like, this delicacy that's costs like $30 a pound for fresh lobster meat. Like, it's crazy. You can get filet mignon for much less money than you can get lobster meat, but whatever.
It just seems needlessly mean.
I mean, but you're killing, I mean, how are you killing cows or chickens?
No,
or
but when I see like halal or what's it, the Jew one with the meat. You know, they cut the cow's throat and it's like, I was in
bleeds out.
Kind of,
yeah.
Like, I'm like, that seems kind of cruel, but God told me to do it. Fine. Like, it's stupid reason, but it's a reason I've heard before. Why are you going to kill the lobster alive? It tastes better. Like, that's kind of a dick move.
No, that's something about, there's something that breaks down quickly. You got to cook it right away. You can't what do? You shoot the lobster in the head and then cook it a couple days later. You can't. There's something that it secretes or something that gets people sick. You gotta kill it, and then cook it immediately, basically. But the question always is, do the lobsters even feel real pain? What's their nervous system like? Do they even know what's going on? Do they have feeling like that? And I don't know if we'll ever really know that for sure. I mean, probably someday science will be able to say for sure one way or another, but
I don't think I never want to kill anything. Like, literally, if I can avoid killing something in life, I try to.
Right.
But, lobsters are pretty nasty looking little fuckers.
And finally, cause we don't have much time here. Speaking of killing things, a Texas grandma shoots and kills a massive gator linked to her missing miniature horse. She wrote on Facebook, "One shot, one big un down." She posted the male gator weighed about 580 pounds. The woman's kill recently went down at her ranch in Goodrich. "We think this is the gator that ate one of our miniature horses several years ago. As big as this gator was, he could have easily eaten it. Typically, the gators don't bother us, but we've been looking for this one."
Not only is she a grandma, she's also the mayor of the town.
Yes.
She's the mayor of Livingston, Texas.
Correct.
I don't know why I know Livingston, but I do somehow. Maybe it's because it's home to the world-famous miniature horse farm. I like that she avenged the death of her miniature horse by killing the alligator. This sounds like a bad story. Like somebody, you know, you hear, I don't know, like, I can't believe alligators are real.
They're also very old dinosaur.
Yeah.
era shit, like lobsters. Yeah, it's weird that some shit lasted and like managed to get like through the ice age and the heat waves and everything else, and so many other things didn't. Like everything on Australia died when humans got there. Like they had those like giant ass birds and stuff, and then other stuff just manages to like kind of lurk around in the Everglades and live for millions of years. It's crazy.
It's kind of sad though. Yeah. As we close out the show, just to think that this creature, an alligator, has evolutionarily survived for millions of years. And yet because it ate the wrong miniature horse, it got shot and killed.
There's so many pictures of this lady with a gator. There's video of her shooting it. It's really good. Anyway, we got to close the show here. I will keep you up to date on the gator story, and we'll be back next week here on halfguarded.com. This is MMA and stuff. I'm Matt. That was Mike. Check us out on we're everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Keep listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.